This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Wow. Wow.
Well, oh, they didn't give us a spot? I'm sorry. That's a first down. That's a first down.
No. You're right, but there's more to come.
Don, how bad is what's to come?
What?
I mean, you didn't say bad, but I feel like the implication is bad.
It's not the end of the world.
But it's not the end of the world. That means it's not good.
No, I'm sorry that I'm passionate.
I'm going to switch, and I'm going to blow you all out of the water. There you go.
What do you mean you're going to switch?
I'm going to switch. I haven't been watching the football game. I'll put it on now, and I'll tell you exactly what happened 5 minutes before.
By the way, the fact that you would want to do that is really shocking.
It's troubling, isn't it?
What the hell was that?
Not the fourth down and one you would want. Not the call you're looking for.
From your own 35? Guys, it's like so
Riverboat
weird.
Ron.
Yeah. He's like, how's it working out for you?
Well, hold on. That's what I was going to say, though, Don. It's a mixed bag. They do play better as a team with Ron Rivera. They, in general, look better. They are a more legitimate organization
and
team.
The previous coach was lying in the gutter, literally, in D.C.
That's a great point by Mike.
Open a heater.
But how in God's name you decide to go for it in a very desperate play at a point in the game that's not particularly desperate? From your own 35-yard line, they snap.
Oh, a big game by Big Ben. Oh, you're not going to like this.
You can't be doing this to the poor guy. You just don't get it, Michael. I just forgot that he was so delayed.
No, he's not going to like this at all.
I never saw anybody.
And by the way, you're a play and a half ahead of me, dude. I just watched the first down tackle. If you don't shut up, I'll walk out on the show.
Yeah, you got to stop, Michael. You got to stop. First of all, you're so ahead, I think you're actually calling, again, from Heinz Field. You're probably breaking all kinds of copyright laws.
Did you see the catch yet, Peter?
No, I didn't. They didn't snap the ball yet. I'm watching on internet TV, so it takes time.
Oh my goodness!
I don't
Please
have cable.
Do ENN.
I'm not 70. I don't have cable. I'm watching it on internet. Hold on. Well, now I have to wait for this play that you've hyped up. This big gainer, as you've described it,
it's a huge.
It's
going to
be over by the time you see this.
Oh my God!
They're
almost going
to score.
Yeah, they'll be in the end zone by the time that was.
I'll
a big
tell
game.
You when they do. Okay.
By the way, what a moron Ron Rivera is! What a moron! This is all on him. Instead of punting or at least running a QB sneak or just handing the ball off, he runs a trick play, snaps it to the tight end, who hands it off to the wide receiver. What are you doing? And now it's going to be 14-0 because you're a jackwagon.
Who, me?
Well, no, you are also, but I don't blame you for that. I blame Riverboat Ron.
I love
his riverboat
coach.
Crashed.
I got to tell you, like we all like admire these types of coaches. You know that they go. It's such folly. It really is. Come on, you realize that you are in a situation where you're hanging here. Be smart. Don't do something that's handing. Now it's a two-possession game, even though they only get a first down, which they did.
Washington just did something really dumb.
Really?
Yep.
How could you do something dumb? What dumber can you do?
You know how you punish them, Peter? You know how you punish them? Friday, have the whole ENN be the announcer schedule.
No, I think now he's starting to then like I think he's kind of in on the announcers.
You're punishing now. The viewers that, and the listeners then.
Michael, did you have any moments from watching football this weekend where you said, you know what, I'm glad I learned about the announcers on Friday?
No, not a bit.
Can what
you
about
please get into ENN, please?
Yeah, let me start off by saying good evening to
Don't
Michael.
You know?
They had no sewers in Chevy Chase.
And let me say good evening to Don.
So they had me change my name to David Andrews.
And I'd like to say good evening to myself. And Ringo's a lunatic, if he actually believed that. God rest
Peace and love. God rest his soul.
Well,
I'm the only member of this show that hasn't killed off a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, there's still time.
Not that much. Not as much as you think.
You know, it's funny. Michael, I always recall, and Don, you may remember this too. When I have a pick, that wasn't very smart. You're right, Michael. When I have a pick that's going badly, Michael texts every time. Like, if it's glaringly bad. In some cases, not even glaring. I believe Detroit was down by 3 points on Thanksgiving, and Michael was already texting me mean things.
So you want me to text you when it's going well?
No. My question is, how did it feel yesterday when they blew the opening whistle of your 3-point pick and you were down 30 to nothing? How did that feel?
I was fine because the only guy I'm concerned with is Don, not you.
Well, that's an interesting theory to have this week, considering I could be very close after tonight.
Okay, you know, Blind Squirrel gets a nut every now and then.
Well, if Blind Squirrel gets enough nuts, then guess what? He's no longer blind. He has money from the nuts to trade it in and get an eye operation.
Really? He's going to get a glaucoma.
Yeah, exactly. The Blind Squirrel gets enough nuts. He trades it in, has a lovely surgery, and now he can see perfectly. So take that in your pipe.
Are you watching?
Ladies and gentlemen, a lot happened in the NFL over the weekend.
That's a bad jacket worn by Burkhart right now. You'll see it. You'll be appalled.
Really?
Yeah.
This is big. Can we do Burkhart jacket watch on ENN?
You're so right.
Am I right, Don?
I don't know what's going on there.
What is that jacket? It's got great scarf, but it's...
Talked about this earlier.
One glove would make sense.
We talked about this earlier, of course. It is official. Greg Williams, after one of the most insane calls in the history of football, has been let go, relieved of his duties,
no job,
by the New York Jets. And Adam Gase was asked who made the decision to fire Greg Williams.
Who made the decision?
I did.
And to follow is, did you agree with his decision last night on the blitz call at the end of the game, and how much factored into your decision?
I obviously wasn't happy about that call. That was a heartbreaking way for our guys to lose the game. So for that to happen in that situation, it's just, we can't have that happen.
I agree with you guys on the Burkhart jacket situation.
I thought Canty brought up a great point that we didn't even think of. You didn't like the call, you had a timeout. Why didn't you call timeout? That is so bogus. This guy gets away with everything. Everything. You had a timeout. Call timeout.
Wait, but hold on. We know that the offensive calls go through his headphones. Does he call in the defensive calls?
Yeah, I don't think
But he hears them.
I don't know. Does he?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you have a Greg Williams, he might have autonomy on that.
No, I think you're wrong.
But I might be wrong. Might be wrong.
Now, he should be able
Chris
to hear
Canty
that.
Chris Canty said it. I bet but he's this, right, you're wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. If Canty said it, I agree.
What makes this interesting, and just to give you a little payback, Peter, good things coming.
I don't know if it works that way. I think you still screwed me. I saw the stop on third down. Is that what you mean?
No.
Something else?
Something else.
Really? Oh!
See?
Sorry, Bear.
Wait for that. But again, this is such an offensive guy. I think Greg Williams with that hire was like, "All right, you handle the defense." I don't think Gase A is necessarily listening to the call, or he might even know what the call is, and would probably feel comfortable overriding it because he's supposed to be the guy. And then what's the headset on for
warmth? Because obviously the Denny's menu is put down. They're not getting the ball again. He should be listening to every single call. That's why a coach wears a headset.
But by the way, is this like the battle of two coaching Nimrods? What is happening here?
Well, I mean, the offensive lineman couldn't make the catch. I mean,
on fourth down, if you're Pittsburgh, and this game, I think we all agree this is not going to be a shootout at this point. Kick the field goal, go 10-0.
Take the two possession.
What are you doing? Like. That was, and by the way, Don, question, what's the strength of the Washington defense?
Stopping the run.
So what are you doing? Like, just kick the field goal, go up 10-0. Hey, listen, we'll take the ball back at the goal line. I'm sure we'll get a safety, but still.
Well, they can get out of it if that ends up happening or you get great field position again. But
that's true.
It'll be interesting. I don't know if they followed up with the question. You would think that he would know everything that is going onto the field. But I, as an offensive guy that has been seen when the defense is on the field, like sitting on the bench looking at plays and talking to offensive players like an offensive coordinator while the game is being played, kind of thinks it's on the table that he is not listening to the defensive calls.
You think Bill Belichick knows every call?
Yes.
That's now, Bill Belichick.
You just insulted Bill Belichick by even throwing him into the conversation with Adam Gase.
Yeah. And you know, Bear didn't like it either.
No.
Peter, Belichick, honestly, with everything you know, is it would it be that crazy if Gase is not hearing or not knowing the call in that situation? Not.
Yeah, anything's in play with this team. Let's hear from Marcus May after the game last night. His reaction. First, his reaction when the play call came in.
I mean, everything is happening fast for me. The call came in, you know, a lot of things running through our minds and everything like that. So, you know, we just played the call that the coaches called and got to execute, but you got to help us out at the same time, just being a you know, better call at that spot.
And he went on, he was critical of the play in general.
Just felt like we could have been a better call at that time in that point of the game.
How tough a spot is that for Lamar Jackson to be out on an island there facing arguably one of the fastest players in the league?
It's extremely tough, that situation. Just got to be in a better call.
Now, guys, if he's going to criticize the play after the game, then why wouldn't he just take the bullet and just say, we're not running that play?
I don't think he has enough standing to do that, Don.
Standing against who? A coach that's going to get fired in 4 weeks?
Yeah, still, but he's young.
I mean, football players are taught to listen to their coaches.
I understand. I mean, that would be all right, well, then if that's the case, then why are you killing it after?
No.
No, he's allowed to say he did what he was told to do, and after what he said, we have to have a better play than that. It's
but I'm saying if you're.
Say no.
And this was before Williams.
I mean, if
was
it's fine. Ronnie Lott back there, he could say no.
Well, I know, but. And I understand it's a bunch of kids. They don't have any kind of veterans. But of the important players on that defense and how long he's been there, again, it's only been 3-4 years. He is the veteran of that defense. And if you're worried about what's going to happen afterward, like how you're going to deal with your coaches, well, that was before Williams was fired. So criticizing the coach's play after the game can get you in as much trouble as saying we're not running that play.
Well, but not, in this case, it obviously – let me put it this way. To Michael's point. If May decides I'm literally not running the play, I'm not even giving the play to my players, that can have ramifications career-wise. Like, that's not a thing that's done.
Can't do it. It's
whereas in this case, he sees how it plays out, Don, politically. He sees how it plays out. Everyone says it's the worst thing ever. And he gets up there and stands up for his teammates and says, that was a horrible call. We got to do better than that. And it proves out that he ends up looking... Obviously, the Jets don't disagree with him because Williams.
No, I'm not ripping him for this. I'm just, and that's why I asked Chris, because Chris was somebody that was a defensive player, so he would know how difficult or easy that would be. I'm just saying, could that be on the table? That if it's so egregious, and he knew it was egregious, and you're 0-11, you know, and the coaching staff that you would be so worried about is on its way out. Now, again, he doesn't know how awful the play is going to be until it's over, but if he. He seemed like he kind of knew after the game that when they got it, there was like confusion in the like, really? So he couldn't pull at the end of Rudy?
I got to ask you a question about this play? Game that's going on, right?
Go ahead, Michael.
So at the 50-yard line, each side, there's about 48 people. How do they choose those 48 people sitting in the stands? Who are those 48 people?
By the way, it is so that is a random small amount of people there.
Well, I don't think Pennsylvania is letting any fans in.
But so they have fans there, Don. They have about 40 fans on each side.
Andrew that might be friends and family. It could just be like maybe family or people that like are with the team. Like, how do you open up the building to that few? I don't. Andrew, are they letting fans in buildings in Philadelphia in Pennsylvania?
I know they're not in Philadelphia.
So, it's got to be a state thing, not a city thing. So, I think those are just people with the team.
Oh, you're not going to like what just happened, Peter.
Really?
This is ahead of me, too. No, he's not going to like that at all.
No, he's going to hate it.
But honestly, how could you ever say you were a fan?
But Don, even if he was a fan... He's such a bad guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's either a really bad guy or just, you know, he doesn't
He doesn't get what he's doing. Like,
what
he knows it's
doing?
Bothering
I'm,
you.
I'm just telling him something that's happening. It's not like I'm telling him something wrong.
Hold on. So you think the fun way to take in a game where your team's playing in a meaningful game is to have someone telling you ahead of time whether you're going to like or not like what happens next?
I would love that if somebody would do that for me.
No,
except
you don't.
Except I have state-of-the-art electronics, so I get it when it's actually happening.
I don't understand. If you ever were a fan, you would have to know how much that really, really bothers Peter.
Well, you know what? People have to get over it.
Well, and you actually undersold that. So it turned out to be worse. It turned out to be worse than you said. The first thing you yelled and screamed about, it didn't lead to any points. They just gave up a 50-yard touchdown on a missed tackle. DeShazer Everett, you suck! And you undersold it.
I didn't want to get you upset.
Well, look how it turned out. I'm upset. God, Everett can't make a tackle. You ever have a player on your team, Don, all the guy does, it feels like to you, is pick up penalties? Oh. Penalties and get burnt. That's the only thing he does.
You know, you have, can I tell you something as one of the three hosts of the show?
Go ahead.
Completely destroyed this CNN because of your affinity for the Washington football
team. I think it's
no,
great.
No, people on Twitter have hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, tell them to take a walk.
Manny Blanco said, this has to be by far the worst ENN ever.
Oh, please.
All I'm hearing is Washington this and Washington that. Mad. Oh, my God. Come on, Peter. Chill out with that.
You know what? Sniff him. Sniff him dead. That's
Wait
what
minute.
I have to
First
say.
First of all, the only reason this is fun is not because Peter's a Red a fan of Washington.
Sniff him dead.
Is this is important to the Giants, too. The Giants might as well be playing right now if you're a fan.
And the Giants have a 14-0 lead. Let's hear. Let's move on. Speaking of the Giants, let's hear from future Hall of Famer Joe Judge on what's been different about his team over the last month.
You want to win those games that are close down the edge. It really comes in the, you know, what'd you do for the entire 60 minutes? It's not just those final 2 minutes. It's what'd you do the entire game to put yourself in position and capitalize on? What plays were you able to make earlier in the game that you got to go ahead and then execute down the stretch as well? You know, I just think our team's executing, you know, a lot better down the stretch. They've made a lot of improvement. A lot of that's from, you know, just comfort of being around these coaches for a length of time, you know, building on the you know, multiples that we have within a game plan on a weekly basis and the adjustments we can make on the sideline or in the locker room, you know, on a kind of quick turnaround basis. So guys just making plays. These guys prepare hard and they play well.
I don't know if you noticed it, Don, in his post-game comments. It was like he was mainlining Starbucks. I've never heard him talk that fast.
Yeah, he was
genuinely. He was jacked up.
Jacked up for that. Come on, I think they even have to be surprised. Like, I'm watching that game, and especially after the block punt, you're thinking, the Giants aren't going to win this game. They can't score. And as good as the defense has played this year, are you really going to hold Seattle down to, like, the points necessary in order to win this game? So I start thinking in my mind, all right, is there something sellable tomorrow on the show that if Daniel Jones had played, they could have won the game? So you're kind of like, that's my mentality is. Like, they're not going to win this game, but the final score is going to be like 13-3 or something, and we're going to say, boy, man, if Daniel Jones played, they could have won the game. And then they continue to hang, and then take the lead, and then take a 2-score lead. And I was really flabbergasted that in every aspect, that the defense played that well, that the offense functioned the way that it did. Even McCoy, he didn't have great stats, but Michael, I thought the 2 first downs he got on that final drive for the Giants to take time away from Seattle was huge. I was really shocked across the board on how they played.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
I like the point Canty made, too. It really is true. You will know over the next couple of weeks when they're playing playoff-bound teams who now know what they're getting, isn't this the test to see if they are actually a real football team?
Well, that wasn't just a fluke?
Yes.
They caught Seattle at the right
time?
For
sure. Seattle didn't have any reason to think the Giants were special coming into this
game.
Well,
that's on them.
No. I'm not saying that may be so. But my point is, moving forward now, after they go to Seattle as 10.5-point dogs and win, and now you play a decent team after that, people are going to be preparing for you like a real football team.
Well, that's true, but just getting back to the point that Seattle took them lightly. Of course, they probably did, right? They're home against a team that's 4-7 with their backup quarterback, okay? Because I don't think they ever bought for a second that Daniel Jones was going to play in that game. But at 5-0 at the half, Pete Carroll's not like, okay, guys, all right, well, this is obviously a different beast than we thought, and nothing really ever changed.
Maybe to really get some insight, we should hear from Russell Wilson inside. Yeah. Russell Wilson.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ACM. Hey guys, Russell here.
Russell Wilson, watch.
Mr. Unlimited.
When you're on Easter weekend, your wife is here, you're braiding your hair.
Yes, the typical boring robot Russell, the one you guys love to know.
This is what goes on with you. He's cute.
This is what goes on with you. Let's hear from Russell on the loss to the Giants.
Each game has its own history, and each game has its own story, and unfortunately, I think the reality of this story was we weren't able to capitalize on opportunities, you know. I always talk about game-altering plays, you know. We didn't have those plays, unfortunately, today, like we feel like we've had, you know, for the most part all season. You know, we've done a great job of those, and those just didn't show up as much today.
Hey, Seattle.
So it was Poindexter Russell yesterday.
I know this may come as a hot take. I could see Russell Wilson turning into a very solid broadcaster one day.
Hey, Seattle.
Which one?
Not that
Poindexter
one.
Poindexter or Russell.
Okay.
Each game has its own history. And each game has
that
its own
line
story,
right there, each game has its own history? Sounds like he's setting up Monday Night Football.
As he's saying that, I picture him like with one finger pushing his frames up on the bridge of his nose.
Yeah.
Each game has...
with the pocket protector.
Hey, Seattle.
And there, I don't see him with the glasses.
Keister, you sound different. You sound different on this show than you do on the Yankee broadcast.
That is unbelievably wrong.
Yeah,
Don,
that's incorrect.
It's incorrect.
You sound different on Hot 97 than you sound on this show.
I do. Completely I openly different. Admit that. But
I'm the same guy. I'm no phony. Can't ever call me a phony. I'm a bad guy, but I'm not a phony.
Don, I don't know if I'd say he's no phony. All right.
Now, maybe. What he says.
Right.
Obviously, he's a little different, but I hear Michael Kay in both. The exact same guy.
You're a completely different dude. Morning and afternoon. Completely different.
Don, would you say Michael's a different dude from when the mics are off and we're in the studio to when the mics go on?
But I don't sound different.
Is voice quality? What about content of your words? The content of your character, like the great Dr. King said.
I certainly can't say the stuff on the air that I say off the air. Are you out of your mind?
And I use words as tools, but as weapons. So does that make you any less phony?
No, but he doesn't sound like a different person.
But that's what I'm saying. So it's only about tone of voice, not quality of words? Content?
No, so no,
you
no,
want
that,
me to
the
say,
content
you
doesn't
want me
matter?
To talk blue on the air and get fired? What, are you an idiot?
Okay. You know, you're being kept.
Why couldn't you just say,
well, yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly what happens now, when it happens, because now you've ticked me off.
Yeah, because it's not the content. Well, he could have very easily said, well, every game's got its own history, man. He didn't say that.
All right. Each game has its own history.
No, but Smith is in the shotgun.
Well, really? You know what?
Why do I? He dropped back. Looks over the field. Deep.
All right, that'll do it for ENN. I'm not going to even bother anymore because you're such a bad guy.
You and I are so done now after what you just accused me of. So done.
Just offending my guy, Russell Wilson.
Oh, but
so he's Mike. More your guy than I am.
Oh, my God. If Russell Wilson even said hi to you on an escalator, you would drop me like a hot potato. Don, am I wrong?
No, that's not wrong, but that's not the conversation. We're talking about
How do you Russell. Say that's not wrong, Don? I have no interest.
Because in every
Russell
caller
Wilson.
Who calls the show for 8 seconds you prefer over me.
That is true. Russell Wilson goes from Barry White to Urkel. Michael doesn't do that.
But it's that my point is people are different in different ways. Michael's not a jokester.
Turn up his mic. Listen, the bottom line is, Don.
It's never been said.
Well, we were at the Curb Your Enthusiasm premiere. I bring Peter into the back room.
Very nice guy.
I introduce him to Larry David. I don't even spend any time with Larry David, who I really enjoy his company, because I know how much it means to Peter. And then he's saying that I would ditch him for Russell Wilson. I'm done. Shut his mic off.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, that is true. In that setting, Michael was very kind and a good friend. But
settings, I'm not. So well, I'm trying to build a good radio show here.
There are times when people call the program and say horrifying things about me, and you go, I think that's you've made some salient points. When I get angry and say, let's get rid of this bozo, you go, the listeners are the lifeblood, and defend them over me. Don, has that happened?
That does happen. But he does it to me, too.
Doesn't make it right.
How many times does he say he makes some salient points after somebody says that I'm a raving lunatic with my rants or I'm not that
All I'm saying is that those are salient points.
Well, that's going to do it for ENN, as we said. However, a couple interesting things happened yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, fastest ever to 400 touchdown passes. It took just 193 games. He was floating yesterday. It was easy for Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
ENN was over.
And also, lastly, Andrew, what's going on in Philadelphia? It's not what you want.
No, this is a bad, bad team. And I have no idea who my starting quarterback is going to be next week. God hates me.
Imagine going to your backup quarterback and you've got a guy next year that counts about $48 million against the cap.
It was horrifying.
Alex Smith's leg is bleeding.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
What?
I think the area that he injured was bleeding through his sock onto his shoes. And that
Alex Smith?
It.
Yeah.
Somebody spiked him.
Oh, they spiked him. Oh.
All right, we're going to towel off. I look forward to the next segment with Don. We'll be back in just a moment right here. Kay LaGreca and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.